Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. We're going to be talking about something that all of us at one time or another are definitely going to be working with. What is that? Well, it's interior design. Now, for those of you who have been listening to the show, you've heard me mention the title of this very interesting book called What Were You Thinking? Well, I didn't give you the subtitle on it because I wanted the title to intrigue you. This is all about how you can take the environment that you live in, or maybe a summer place that you might have, your apartment, whatever you call home, wherever you are, and make it into something that's very attractive and refreshed. My guest is Howard Wiggins. Howard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Welcome.
You are a man that has been involved with interior design for so many years, 36 years plus. You've been internationally recognized by Andrew Martin, and he considers you one of the world's top 35 designers. And
correct.
That is quite a statement, quite a statement. And you were trained at the O'More School of Design in Franklin, Tennessee. And it's got quite a bit of credibility behind it as far as people coming out of it and becoming very successful in the world of interior design. And you founded Hearthstone Interior Design in 2005, so this is relatively new. And you have worked as a photo stylist for homes and design magazines. You are a regular contributor to Today's Home magazine. And you really like to work with what people already have and actually enhance it substantially. Now, Howard, your title I just loved. What were you thinking? Now, you've been having some incredible success with this. Tell us about the good news that you gave me just before we came on the air.
Well, this weekend I'm doing the Murfreesboro Antique Show, and it's a three-day event this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We just got news that we're going to do the Chattanooga Convention Center, which is going to be six classes that we're going to do lessons on interior design, and that's August 1st. That starts. I also got news I'm going to be writing for Busy Bee Magazine, which is in several states, and it's a antique magazine, and what we're going to do is an article on using antiques in today's lifestyle. And what I mean by that is the younger generation is not really comfortable with antiques because they think of lunch boxes and these flea market type things that they see on the side of the road. So what I want to do is I want to show them photographs where you use antiques with other new items, contemporary paintings or new furniture, and it doesn't look like an antique shop. You just can appreciate your past but not look like you're living in the past. And then we're also going to be doing another article we found out today for Mature Living, which is a newspaper magazine, and we're going to start doing designer questions in it. So.
Oh, well, that's exciting. Well, I know everybody reaches a point that maybe they've been pleased as punch with what they've had. Maybe they actually have very, very fine furnishings, but they need to have a room refreshed. And in today's economy, many people are wanting to remodel. Many people are saying, well, how can I work with what I've already got? And that's what your book is about. And I like how in the very beginning that you say, before you do anything, you really need to plan. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you find that people make when they're looking at upgrading or redesigning their space? What would you say to them?
That is a million-dollar question, and I do have the answer. Most people, they'll look what's bothering them. They'll say, I want to paint the wall green or red or whatever color they want, and they have no reason other than just that's a thought in their head.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take it logically. You got to see, if my sofa has this color in it, what's going to make the sofa color look the best? So that's the color you need to paint the wall. You need to have a plan of working big to little, taking what you have and making it look its best. There are three main rules that people have, and the one is they don't have a floor plan on what they need to go shopping for. You may go shopping for a sofa, but in actuality, you may need two sofas in the room, not one. You need to, once that's decided, you need to know what end table height your new sofa is, so you know what's the end table to look for, or you might need a sofa table behind it. So you shop from big to little. That's the order that you shop in. And third, which is the most common mistake that everybody makes, is they buy what they like. And in my book, I have that close reference of me. It shows a picture of me wearing swim trunks, cowboy boots, and a bow tie. I like those items, but they don't go together. So just because you like it doesn't mean it works. So you pick out the biggest item that you have, such as your rug or your sofa, and you put what makes it look the best, not what else do I like. And if you follow those rules, there won't be any mistakes. And then when you mention today's economy, what people don't realize is that people kind of get stuck in an era, just like they do in dressing or hairstyle or things like that. If you don't stay current with the trends, and I don't mean jump all the way into it and follow it full heart, it looks like your house has been neglected. And you have, if you have a large home and you don't update your kitchen, you don't update your bathroom, you don't use current wall colors, then when your house comes on the market and it's compared against brand new houses that have, you know, beautiful countertops and fabulous bathrooms and high ceilings and moldings and all this, then who wants your house? It needs a lot of repair and it has to take a lot of money to be updated. So if you constantly change a little bit and stay current, you'll get more money for your house in the long run.
Color is something people are often afraid of, and I like your comment about looking at what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you hate what you've got, that's another issue. But your positioning of thought relative to really plan out what you want to do, and you have what most interior designers are going to work with is the layout of the room. Is it rectangular? Is it square? Is it semicircular? Is it a lot of, does it have a lot of windows? You know, what is the persona of the room just in its basic self? Does it have a fireplace that was built in 1950 that maybe covers the whole wall? Or do you want to keep it there? Do you want to paint it? What do you want to do? So there's all of these things that can be looked at. And I think sometimes people get a little flustered because they don't have a lot of patience in working through those steps. And I like your comments about choosing a color that is going to go with what you've got if you like what you have. But if someone's wanting to chuck everything that they've got and they want to start from ground zero, would you recommend that they use an interior designer, or would you recommend that they try to wing it on their own?
I'll put it this way. In the 36 years I've been an interior designer, I have not yet walked into a house where someone did it on themselves and it looked the way it should. They'll hit and miss. They'll hit some things right and they'll miss in others. It sometimes takes a critical eye to know, you know, most people will say they know what they like when they see it, but they don't know how to get there. An outsider will see mistakes quicker than you will when you live with it. When you live with it, you kind of overlook it. You look at what you want to look at and you overlook what you don't want to see. But when it comes to paint color, that is the most important thing you can do to change your outlook on your house. I mean, think about a woman. When a woman changes her hair from dark to blonde, all her clothes look different. You know, the whole persona is completely different. And the same is true with your house. And if you're starting with, if you're starting your house and you've got your plan, and you don't like what you want, then you buy that big item such as your area rug or your sofa or your bedspread, whatever has the pattern in it, and then work out from that. The paint color is the last thing you do after you pick out all your upholstery.
Oh, now that's interesting. Okay.
Then that tells you the colors that you need to paint.
Mm-hmm. And that's something, too, is lifestyle has a lot to do with what you're going to do inside your home. What are you comfortable with? Because sometimes people, I mean, you mentioned in your book Donald Trump, he has a house that is palatial with a lot of what he has. Well, there's a lot of people that don't want that. But if they really want to have something that's going to suit them, and if they really want to upgrade, sometimes a designer can really, really do some real good things for you, give you some good perspectives, and actually enable you perhaps to utilize some of the things that you have in a much more effective way.
We don't want to necessarily sell you product. What we want to do is create a beautiful environment that you're comfortable with, and where a designer can help you is we're current on the, we know what's coming as far as style goes. We know what's going out as far as trends go. We shop at many different stores, so we're not trying to give you one look. And I'm not trying to give you what I like. I'm trying to give you what you like. And actually, if you go to our website, hearthstoneinteriordesign.com, www.hearthstoneinteriordesign, you can check out many of our photographs, and you'll see they range from a log cabin to a 26,000 square foot home, as well as condos. So it makes no difference. Everybody's entitled to a beautiful home. It has nothing to do with money, and it has nothing to do with how much you're spending at all.
Now, you have a list in your book of questions to ask a designer, which I think really is good. And I'm just going to review them quickly because you need to interview designers, and that's what you state very clearly in your book. Just don't say, I want an interior designer. There has to be some kind of a flow between you and the designer so you can feel good. I think of a woman that had a $2 million condominium. She worked with a woman that was a designer, and the designer put in what she thought she wanted. The communication between the two of them was terrible.
Correct.
And they ended up going to court over the silly thing, and it ended up costing this woman, I think it was, that I knew, she was a client of mine, something like $500,000 to do the renovations in this condo, and she was miserable with most of it. And I thought, what in the world went on here? I mean, it was a war for
years. Well, I think
that
goes just like anything. There's a lot of people in their profession that shouldn't be in their profession, no matter what it is. And I think at the onset, if you ask the questions that are in the book, you're going to have a rapport with that designer, and you're going to be able to weed out the professional one from one that shouldn't be in the business.
Well,
and that brings me to another point. I also know of a lot of clients that will ask their wallpaper person or their painter or somebody that's not even a designer to help them with the house just because they're friends with them. You know, that doesn't make sense to me at all. I mean, why would I ask somebody that's not even that's not trained in the profession just because they're dealing inside the house?
Oh, yes, I know. I've made that same
mistake.
So there's a lot of people, I think, that would have the rationale, gee whiz, this is a person that's a friend, and they're artistic, and they'll know how to do it. Well, you can end up paying a heck of a lot more in the long run because they're not going to do what really should be done.
They're going to sell you their look and not your look. Correct.
And your questions, I think, are good, and I'm just going to run through them quickly. What do you see as important issues or considerations for the project? What are the steps in the design process? What details will you oversee? What will I be expected to provide? What are the fees? What's the timetable or milestones for paying them? How long do you estimate the design process will take? May I have a list of past clients that I may contact whom you've worked for before? And all of those are very significant questions because when you start working, we're not talking about just changing maybe a set of drapes. We're talking about really doing a refreshment of, you might say, a refreshing makeover of what you already have. So if you're going to do this and really be serious about it, having that information is important, especially if you're going to be doing a kitchen or if you're planning on knocking out walls or you're wanting to have an open house. Maybe you moved into a house that has all these little tiny rooms. And you say, oh, I can't stand this anymore. I've got to make a change. Boy, you need that interior designer. Now,
and I have had people that knocked out walls And then they didn't have any place to put their furniture because they knocked out walls.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't necessarily open up the space. Sometimes it can cause problems. Sometimes
yep.
it helps. I'm
mm-hmm.
not, I mean, it goes both directions, so.
Yes, and that's where having someone else that has the visual capability to, that's where a designer comes in and is so very valuable. And, you know, you say people that have second homes, I was just reviewing something before I went on the air that was sent to me by a friend about a person that bought a house that's sitting up on a rock that was built over 100 years ago. I think it was built in 1900. And they went in, they got the house for $3,000, close to $4,000 in the 80s. And they have totally refurbished and redecorated this place. And this is like a summer place that they go to just for a short time during the year. And I looked at this and I thought, wow, that was really a lot of work. The place has like 26 windows in it or 30 windows. It was a big windows because it's a rock sitting in the middle of a large body of water. It's just, it's a beautiful place. So every place is going to have its own kind of needs and magic, but a summer home is different. What have been your experiences with people that have second homes when they want to freshen them up?
Well, I think the main thing that I would recommend to people is to get a different environment than what you live in currently. If you're a very formal person, then go for a rustic setting. If you live normally, maybe make even your vacation house a little bit more tropical or just a different feel so that it feels like a vacation when you visit it. It's a different lifestyle than what you currently live. So.
Well, and I think that's a very good suggestion. And I think that's what this family has done with this home. And it's something that, my goodness, it's just absolutely gorgeous. But you have, again, 7 common mistakes. Let's talk about number 1, monotony. Explain what that is.
Well, the most common mistake deals back probably from the 70s when everybody did 3 colors throughout their same house. Or let's take 1985 when everybody did the mauve and blue. And everywhere you went to the doctor's office, everybody had it. By 1990, you had to evacuate because that color was just all over, and now nobody wants to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So monotony is keeping the house in the same feel throughout. And when I mean by that, I make a reference in the book where your rooms, you should go by feelings. For instance, a bedroom may be more romantic. A kitchen may be more of a morning room and be happier, brighter colors. And yet your dining room may be a darker, richer color because you use that in the evening under candlelight. So you want your rooms to have different feelings because not everybody feels like going in the same space all the time. So why would you want your house the same?
Good point. Heirlooms. Let's talk about heirlooms.
Mm-hmm. Now, heirlooms, I can go a whole book on heirlooms alone. Your parents bought their furniture because they wanted that furniture. When they pass on or any relative passes on, that doesn't mean that their furniture is part of them. I mean, if you love it and you admire it and it brings back memories and you have a spot for it, by all means use it. But you're not obligated to use it. If it doesn't fit your lifestyle, doesn't fit your look, let it go. Don't go spend tens of thousands of dollars over something that you do not like.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
You know.
I mean, there are some people who have had things and then they try to figure out how they can get rid of it or
right.
how they can sell it or maybe give it away. And perhaps sometimes that's the best way to do it, is just to give it away to someone else or maybe have a garage sale depending on what the value might be. I think in today's world, the Antique Roadshow, so many people look at these things and they go, well, it might be worth a lot of money. Well, go and have it appraised. See if it is.
Right.
See if it is something. And if you do not like it, make it okay to sell it. I've known people whose tastes, whatever they inherited, they said, I can't stand this. If I had to have this in my house, I'd go batty. So they worked out some arrangement with an antique dealer, so their place was on, their piece was on consignment, and they ended up selling it to someone that just fell in love with it.
Right.
And that made everybody happy, the antique dealer as well as them, and I think that that's very, very good. Now, like versus love. Now, you touched on this a little bit, but let's go into it a little bit more.
Okay. Now, the very first item that you like, let's take the rug, for instance, because most rooms start with an area rug if you have wood floors. You need to go shopping for a rug that really flips your boat. You want that you love the colors, you love the feel. It's saying what you want the room to say. That is what you love. And then you put things that you like that flatter that. So whatever that first main piece is, be it the carpet or the sofa material or the bedspread, love it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then or artwork, and put what makes it look the best. Not what else do I love, but what will complement. Just like you do when you dress. When a woman goes out and you get a print skirt, you're going to get a blouse that complements that skirt. The same thing's true with your home.
Too small. Item number four. Mistake number four. Too small. Now let's go into that.
Most people, a few bigger pieces make a larger statement and makes your home look sophisticated and makes just a bigger statement. What happens is if people collect a lot of little tiny things, it tends to look like clutter. And I'm not saying you can't have a lot of little tiny things, but if you do, arrange them in a collection so you see a collection as a whole. Don't scatter them throughout the house where there's a lot of bric-a-brac. You want to make a statement. And what makes a room look cluttered or a house look even smaller, if you have a small home and you put small furniture in it, it tends to look like a dollhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to put a few nice things and your house will actually seem larger.
Now, you talk about when you finally accomplish something. We've covered some of the mistakes that people make. When you finally have got a beautiful place and you say, oh, this is just what you want, you say, stop shopping. That is so important. Explain why you don't need to continue to shop.
Well, I think that has to go back to personality. Some people, and that's probably why I'm in the business, I do love to shop. But I have to stop, you know, shopping for myself, so I have to have an outlet to shop for other people. But there are people that, you know, that's their form of entertainment. That's their life. They love to go to furniture stores, and they love to shop, and they love to look for accessories. But there reaches a point that you need to stop. So you need to change your direction, either to go shop for clothes or go shop for friends or just have another outlet. You can go overboard with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can end up with having something looking very disjointed because of the choices that you've made, just because
Correct. There
is that passion. And sometimes people have a real desire to have stuff. I mean, just wow. And then you walk in and you say, gee, this is like a museum. This is nice, but how do you live with it?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has their own style. Of course, it all gives us something to talk about, doesn't it? You talk about a couple of other things, bargain hunting and family pictures. And I know garage sales are a real popular item to attend. But you have a very special attitude regarding bargain hunting.
It's not a bargain unless you were going to buy it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's a beautiful item and it's on sale, by all means buy it. But don't, and it's very tempting. I mean, I've even been persuaded myself sometimes. I have to step back and say, do I like it because it's a bargain, or do I truly like it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you truly like it, get it. If you're liking it because if it's a price, let it go by.
Absolutely. You know. Now, you have an attitude about family pictures.
Yes.
Okay.
Family pictures are fine, but I just don't think they should be in public areas such as your living room, unless it's got artistic value to it, like pictures of children, if it's an oil painting or something, and it would be that picture would be beautiful even if it wasn't your child, if you know, then that is appropriate. But I walk into houses sometimes and you know, that's not important to your kids. I mean, your kids are 20 years old and you have pictures when they were three.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do that, put them in a more private space, such as your bedroom or hallway or guest bedroom, or put it in a photo album. I tend to think a lot of times if you see a picture on a day-to-day basis, it kind of loses its speciality. It's nice to go back and look in a book and remember when your child was three, when they're 20, rather than have them on the wall for 17 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of overlook it, you know.
Well, and I think that's one area where having scrapbooks and things like that are just marvelous, because mm-hmm. so many people, that is very special to them. But like you say, when your kids are grown up, there's a time maybe that you'll want to have some of that out, but there's another time where it's time to move on, and that's what a lot of people, I think, might be interested in, is how do I get this refreshed look?
Plus, I think you got to think about your guest in your home. Is that important to, I know that's important to you, but is that important to your guest? Do they want to see family pictures all over the place? I mean, it's just more entertaining for them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know. Now, you have working and having three steps to success. I know we've got just a couple of minutes. You make 3 points. Make a floor plan, buy in the correct order, and base every decision on previous choices. Making a floor plan, that's actually maybe sitting down with a piece of paper and drawing things out. Where would you put the furniture? How do you want the furniture handled? What do you want to do with it?
When you buy the book, that tells you how that there's certain rules about traffic pattern and how to arrange things. And then the most important thing I have in the book, and no other designer in the world has ever thought of this, you can buy a sofa, a pair of chairs, and one odd chair, and there's 144 different ways you can arrange it. Now, I'm not saying you can arrange that in every room, but out of the 144 different arrangements, there's going to be several that's going to work in your room, no matter where you live.
Mm-hmm. And I've got them right in front of me, so there's just a lot of choices. You have a chapter on trendy or timeless, the information on buying in the correct order. That, you know, all of these things are things that would be considered logical, but many times people get very impatient. And if someone is really wanting to upgrade their home and the kitchen and the bathroom and they have an interior designer, what are some of the tips that you would give them when they're going to be going through this, when their house is going to be in total disorder? Everybody seems to have one kind of a nightmare or another that they will share when they go through this type of thing. What do you think is the biggest challenge that people have? Is it impatience when it comes to doing a project? Are there expectations
too high? I think the most thing is they stab at it themselves. They'll make an attempt themselves to do it, and then they realize, I can't do this, now I've got to call a professional.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so much nicer to say, all right, I need to update my house, I want to change. Get on the phone, call someone. Don't try to do it yourself. I have a client that comes to mind that had a ranch-style house that remodeled their kitchen, and the kitchen was large. But the way they remodeled it, they didn't even have room to put a table and chairs to eat at in their kitchen, and you had to go eat in the dining room. And the kitchen, if it was laid out correctly, was big enough for that. But they just put it kind of the way it was rather than completely refigure the kitchen where it worked out better.
Fascinating.
You know.
Well, there is so much in your book, What Were You Thinking? And if you would like to be able to find out more, if you're like me and you're often wondering, what can I do that is different? Well, if you want to be able to avoid some costly mistakes, this is a book by Howard Wiggins, who's one of the leading designers in the world that I think you will find most valuable. Why not spend the money on the book to get your information so that you know how to prepare yourself to do what you really need to do? Howard, your website is hearthstoneinteriordesign.com.
Correct.
And the book is on the site. It's also on Amazon, and people will go to your website and find out all kinds of good information. I'm so delighted that you were my guest today, and I'm thrilled for your success. I just know that you're going to be having so many new opportunities because of all of the stir that you're getting over your book. This is great.
Thank you, Donna. And I would like to mention, if you go to Amazon.com, we're not the only book with that title. It's easier to punch it in under author, Howard Wiggins, and What Were You Thinking, and it will come up quicker.
Great. Okay, and Wiggins is spelled W-I-G-G-I-N-S. Howard, again, thank you for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. What Were You Thinking? Check it out. It'll save you money, and you'll be happy because of it. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open. If you would like to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, here it is, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener, all you need to do when you call in, when I respond, answer the line. I need your first name or your initial, and I also like to know what city and state that you're calling in from. Then after that, sit back and relax and just let me share with you my intuitive perceptions, and then you're welcome to ask me after I finish a question about anything that you like. It's that simple, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm delighted to be able to share my talents with you on the air. And I had someone contact me wanting to know if I'm going to be on the road, if I'm available for private sessions. Yes, I am. So don't hesitate to give me a call if you're interested in that. And if you want information about appearances, go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you can get a listing of events that are occurring on my calendar. Speaking of which, coming up in the first 3 weekends of August, for those of you in the state of Washington, I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Ren Fair, the first 3 weekends there. Wonderful, wonderful family event. And I invite you to go to their website, which is WashingtonRenFair.com. You can get all of the details regarding this magnificent event. It's just like stepping back into the Renaissance itself. Costumes, fantasies, you'll have jugglers, you have jousters, you have charging knights on magnificent horses. I mean, it's absolutely magical. It's a wonderful, wonderful event for families, and it's going to be held at the Maris Farms, M-A-R-I-S Farms, in Buckley, Washington. So for more information, go to WashingtonRenFair.com. I have free family passes. If you would like to receive a free family pass, and I have just a small amount here available, but give me a call and or send me an email saying, Donna Sebo Show, the fair, free pass, and send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I'll get this ticket for the family pass to you in the mail. It's a wonderful event, and I'm so delighted to be able to be participating in it. And if you go, then be sure that you look for my booth, because I will be there. I will have yellow banners, big yellow banners with huge red lions on them, and that's how you identify my particular booth. All right, battling malaria. It is one of the biggest killers in the world. And there was a tremendous conference that went on about this, and one of the wealthiest men in the world, Bill Gates, is really involved in trying to defeat the, what I want to say, is the mosquito. And, you know, I have a picture of this mosquito. They are amazing creatures to look at. They would fit in a sci-fi picture just beautifully if they were expanded. But they really wreak a lot of havoc. In fact, there has been research done with mosquitoes that have been found in amber. And those insects that have been caught in amber, they were able to discover that they actually had the blood of the victims inside their stomach and that they were carrying diseases. Now, these are amber pieces that are millions of years old. So these critters have been around for a long, long time, causing a lot of problems for not just people, but for animals as well because of what they carry. Now, Bill Gates is really into a program regarding getting rid of malaria. He said, the parasite evolves and the mosquito evolves, so every tool we've ever had in the past has eventually become ineffective. Why? The evolution of resistance has resulted in a multi-million dollar treadmill, he says, of new drugs and pesticides continually replacing older ones. Now, there is a evolutionary biologist whose name is Andrew Reed, or Red, excuse me, and he is with Pennsylvania State University. He said, we really need to end this patterning because we are getting these super mosquitoes. So he said, the harder we try to squeeze the parasite mosquito, the more they're going to evolve and respond. Now, they found that the malaria parasites and the mosquitoes most resistant to drugs or insecticides are the ones most likely to survive treatment and reproduce. But they say if they target older mosquitoes, those nearing the end of their reproductive lives, which are also the most likely to be disease carriers, it could largely eliminate the problem of insecticide resistance. And they say focusing on older mosquitoes could be as simple as applying less insecticide or using fungal biopesticides that kill mosquitoes up to 2 weeks after they come in contact with them. Now, a large portion of the mosquito's short lifespan already has passed when they do this. So they think that if you allow younger mosquitoes to continue reproducing, it reduces the development of resistance while keeping infection rates low. There's so much regarding this that they are really perplexed. As with all things, we have to go through a process of understanding what is the cause of certain patterns. What is the basis for certain results? We've been learning how, and this is way back in the 80s when people were talking about the superbugs that we were creating with the pesticides that we were using. People that were growing cotton at the time found that the boll weevils were just having a field day. They had super boll weevils to work with. So we've got the same challenge in mosquitoes and other insects. Let's go to our first caller of the day. I want to welcome you to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Helene. I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Well, hi, Helene. You're right in my own backyard, practically.
I know. I haven't heard from you for a long time.
Well, I'm glad you found out about the show.
Well, I did. I got your message, and I have a simple question.
Sure.
We were at a dinner at my home, mm-hmm. and my daughter had one of my necklaces on, and my other daughter said, can I borrow it? And so she took it home, and for more than 2 months now, she can't find it. Would you have an idea where it might be?
What she's done is she got concerned that she might misplace it. It's not lost. She still got it. What she did was tuck it into something soft, and it looks like it's near a box. So
a
I
what
think
box?
It looks like it's situated near a box. It's in some soft material.
Uh-huh.
So I think she went and tucked it somewhere. I'm looking at her having it in her purse, and it's like she then took it out of her purse, and she said, oh, if I keep it here, then it'll be okay. It's right under her nose.
Bedroom-like?
I think it looks like it might be in a bedroom area because I'm seeing all of this soft material. But I think she was preoccupied with something else. Her thought was, I need to make sure this is in a safe place. And she tucked it away and then got distracted. So it's like she knows where she put it, but she got distracted enough where it's like, uh-oh, where did I do with it?
So it's not with her junk jewelry.
Well, she needs to look through that, but I'm not seeing it with junk jewelry.
Oh.
I'm seeing it in something soft.
Well, I appreciate this so much. I'm thinking she just go from, she's like a little bee. She goes from one thing to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And all children are different.
Well, they are, and that's exactly what she did. She purposefully put it in something that would protect it so that it would be safe. So
near
she,
a box.
Yeah, it's near a box, but it's wrapped in something soft.
Oh, thank you. Oh, at first, she has some young teenagers cleaning her house, and they love jewelry, and I thought maybe they took it home.
No, I don't think so. What I think she will do is one day she's going to discover it and say, what in the world made me think that it was, you know, it's safe. She's, you know, very thoughtful about that, but she was going to say, why in the world did I put it there? I can remember having... I can remember doing that with a necklace. I have a little Scotty, a gold Scotty that I got so many years ago. It's a very sentimental necklace, and I like to wear it every once in a while, dependent on the outfit I have. And I couldn't find it, and I couldn't find it, and I couldn't find it. I knew I hadn't lost it, but it had gotten put in with something that I normally wouldn't put it in with. And I'm just like your daughter. I mean, I put it someplace because I was in a hurry, and then it took digging in something, and I went, that's where it went.
Well, I feel so much better. I didn't want to accuse the young ladies before I found out, and I thought, you're always such a help.
Well, I'm glad. Hey, Helene, you know, we have these free family passes for the Renaissance Fantasy Fair.
Oh, in Gig Harbor.
Yes. No, this one's out in Buckley. They moved it from Gig Harbor.
Oh, they have.
Yes, they have. So if you'd like to get a free family pass, call me at my office or send me an email, and I'll get one out to you.
What is your office number?
It's 253-582-5604.
Well, thank you again. You made my day.
Oh, good. Well, I appreciate you calling in. And I'm glad you found the show.
Well, I did, but it was usually just on the other station.
Wonderful.
That I listened to you.
Yes.
When you were broadcasting from Tacoma.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but now I'm on the Internet, and I have been for a couple of years now, so I'm glad you found me.
Thank you again.
You're welcome, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Siebel. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. And then, I wanted to tell you, tomorrow is going to be a full hour of open mic. That's right. Every once in a while, I have a show where I don't have a guest, and tomorrow's going to be one of those days. So tell your friends. Anybody will be able to call in during the entire hour. Tomorrow, open mic. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sivo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, it's Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And don't forget, tomorrow is an open mic day, so the entire hour you'll be able to call in. I wanted to share a story with you today about a mom. I'm always amazed at the way people will bring up solutions. Sometimes they're not consciously aware that they're creating solutions. They're trying just anything and everything they know to solve a problem. Well, Katie Eshelman was a woman who had a little girl named Carly, and something started going wrong with Carly when she was about 2. Or before 2, actually. It was after she was a year old, and she wouldn't talk. She couldn't make sounds, and her mother just was stunned, absolutely stunned. It was just like it happened so quickly. What went wrong? What's wrong with my baby? Well, I think as a mother, that's one of the worst things that you can ever experience, is when you know that your child has a challenge. You often think maybe you're doing something wrong, and really it has nothing whatsoever to do with you. It is something that is wrong physically with the child. Well, she finally realized that her daughter needed some help, and some specialists said, you're correct, your child, Carly, has a problem. It's called apraxia. Now, this is a motor speech disorder. Carly knew what she wanted to say, but the muscles in the mouth wouldn't work so she could speak the words. Now, Katie had had a background in music. In fact, she had become a musical therapist, and she had worked with special needs children. Because she was now a stay-at-home mom, she said, I'm going to dig into this. I've heard something about it before, that I think there's a way of being able to help a child put this behind them. She knew her daughter was going to have a real tough time, and she knew she needed to start her, even though she was so very young. She would start to talk to her, and she would start moving Carly's mouth, saying, say, ah, working with vowels. Carly sometimes would get upset. And, of course, she'd get, bored. And Katie said, this isn't working. I've got a little one that's growing a mile a minute, as a healthy child would grow, and what am I going to do to get her attention? So she said, music therapy has been my background, I'm going to use music. So she started making up songs. They were silly songs. Many of them made no sense whatsoever. But she would emphasize the different sounds. And she'd do things like, say, singing, open the window. Up, up, up. Open the window. Up, up, up. Things like this. Or, hey, take a seat. It's time to eat, eat, eat. The whole family participated in this. When Mom was singing these simple little sentences, the rest of the family would go along with it. Now, her daughter loved the music. Kaylee got so excited. Well, one day, Katie's bathing Carly, and Katie's singing, the bubbles in the tub go pop, pop, pop. All of a sudden, Carly says, pop, as clearly as any child could possibly say it. She was astonished. So the one word the child was finally able to say enabled her, because her muscles were now working, to be able to talk clearly. And Carly today is over 3 years of age. Mom still sings to her, and she sings along with Mom. And the speech specialist that Katie had taken her daughter to found that she was just developing beautifully. So Mom's technique really worked. Now, Katie decided she was so successful with this that she was going to pass it along. So she's made a CD of the songs that she came up with so that other children can enjoy them. She said, music gave my little girl her voice. And she said, my daughter's voice and her ability to speak and to sing is really true music. Music is absolutely amazing as a tool in life. It can help you lift depression. It gives you, dependent on what you play, it gives you a whole wonderful environment to put yourself in. Music, because of vibration and tonalities, can lift a person's spirit or can drag them down. There's been so much research done with music, and kids respond to it. Do you know if children are exposed to good music when they're in the womb? It just is amazing how it benefits them. And not only that, after they're born, when they're exposed to good music, their brain capacity improves. Why? Because music is mathematics. And they learn about tones, they learn about rhythm, they like to dance. I think one of the most enjoyable sights is seeing a little toddler like Carly hearing music and dancing to it and bobbing and wiggling and doing all of this. It's developing coordination. It's allowing the brain to grow and develop. So research has definitely proved over and over again that music is a magnificent tool to use. And this mom was able to do something that the therapist couldn't do, and that is enable her daughter to find her own voice, even though she had a particular condition that could have created a lot of havoc in her life. So mom's musical experience really paid off. And do you know what? When medical facilities now are doing certain procedures, they have learned that they have certain music on. And one of my favorite stories about music is a mall in Bellevue, Washington that was having a problem with really unruly teenagers. They have all this energy, and they'd come in, and they were causing so many problems in the mall. And people wanted to have fines and all kinds of things, and someone got the bright idea of playing classical music. The teenagers disappeared. The adults loved it. So, that is a solution. Nonviolent, but very intelligent. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your imagination is a gift. Utilize it because it can liberate you in so many ways. The word impossible, well, you don't need to have it in your vocabulary. Look at the possibilities in life because they are there for you, waiting to be discovered. Donna Sebo will be here same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Talk with you tomorrow. Open mic day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.